Dakota Ray Hebert, Hebert. Oh my goodness, this interview is starting off as a hot mess. Which one is it?
Hebert,
Hebert.
actually. Yeah, it's supposed to be a bear. But my dad's grandparents, my great grandparents, and they are eventually when my family had settled down in Saskatchewan, from Quebec, it turned from Hebert to Hebert. Everyone was like, oh, Heberts. So that's why we're Heberts here instead of Hebert's.
All
Very
right.
Saskatchewan.
Okay, that sounds good then. Dakota Ray Hebert was born and raised in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. You're a featured comedian. You're part of Gotland coming to Toronto on September 30th, but you have a couple solo shows coming up too. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, can you believe it? It's happening. It's nuts.
You've arrived, and I'm gonna tell the listeners that I already talked to Zoe Lee Hopkins about you a couple of months ago. So you've been the topic of a lot of conversations. I don't know if your ears were burning or not, Dakota.
You know what? They have been burning, but I just thought, that's just it's just hot outside. But no, you know what? It's probably because of these interviews.
It could be the interviews. It could be maybe changes in the weather. Who
No.
knows? Who knows? This isn't nothing. I talked to Janelle Niles already, and Gotland as a concept is pretty exciting. Can I ask you where did you start to get involved in the Gotland show?
I honestly have no idea. I think that's just Janelle's magic. Is she, someday she just acquires you onto the show, and you're just like, yeah, I've always been here, I guess. It's just kind of how it feels. But I think it was 2 years ago. I think there was like an online show or what have you that she was organizing, and I was a part of it. And I think ever since then, yeah, I've kind of just been on the docket with Gotland. But yeah, it is an amazing concept, and I think it's done wonders for getting Indigenous comics on stage and in front of the important comedy people. So it's been really exciting to watch it flourish.
That's pretty cool. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Dakota Ray Hebert, who is part of Gotland coming to Toronto on September 30th. You do have solo shows also in Toronto. You've got a busy week coming up. You're performing on September 27th and 28th as well. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like it's I just got goosebumps. Yeah, it's kind of, it's very dream come truey. Like it's to say that yeah, I'm gonna be going to do Just for Laughs in Toronto, and I've got not one but two solo shows. It's like nerve-wracking, but like a good nerve-wracking, I guess. Like yesterday, I kind of figured out I think I know exactly what my set's gonna be, and now I just have to hammer it and run it and run it and run it, and it's just really fun. It's exhilarating, and I'm trying not to think about it too much, or I'll hurl.
All right. Well, I guess I'll stop asking you about it. Interview's over. Thank you. Thank you for
Oh
your time. Uh,
no,
it's been it's been a
it's not.
slice.
Yeah, no, I was being dramatic, but yeah,
You're the
it's a.
first guest to take dream come true and make it into, is it a verb if you say dream come truey? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, true, truly. Yeah, it is. Yeah, verb. Yeah.
I have to point out that Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan is a far cry from Toronto. Can you talk a little bit about your journey as an artist?
Yeah. So Meadow Lake. Yeah. I rep my city, my town, everywhere I go. I love being from there. It's a beautiful place, but it is a far cry. It's pretty small. Everyone kind of knows everybody. Yeah, wanting to be an actress since I was little, and wanting to be a comedian since I was little, and it's tricky. But I was in every drama production I could get my hands on, and actually in grade 9, I won an award for narrator and squirrel. That's how good I am, Carl. It's amazing.
And it started early. It started early.
yeah. But my drama teacher, Mr. Krezawati, he was actually the first grown-up in my life who was like, hey, you know what, this is actually something you should pursue. So having that kind of blessing from a grown-up was really, really crucial. And then I had other teachers when I was in grade 11 that were really supportive of me when I started telling people that I think I wanted to go be an actor. And that's basically what I did. I applied to in grade 12, like the University of Regina. Just applied to one to be a teacher, got rejected and said, well, I'm moving to Regina anyways. I packed up my van, moved to Regina, which I thought at the time, was the hub of arts, because they have this beautiful theater, Globe Theater there. That's what they have there. So, and I knew that from school. So I made it my goal to try to get on Globe Theater stage. And I got cast in a couple community theater shows. And then eventually thought I was good enough to audition at Globe. And went to my audition while I was working at, actually, yeah, I was on my lunch hour when I was working as a stone chip tech at Novus Auto Glass. What? It's amazing. Yeah, went to my audition. And then I never heard back from them for like months. And then they had called, Ruth Smiley had called to see if I'd audition for the conservatory program. And I did, and I got in. And I was actually the first Native student that they'd ever had in their conservatory program. And that was in 2012. And so I was really, really lucky and really grateful to Ruth Smiley for all she did. They gave me a full ride scholarship into the program, and that training really acted as a springboard for my career. I was able to then work with the SAS Native Theater Company, which is now the Gordon Tootoosis Naganiwen Theater here in Saskatoon, Native Earth and Red Sky, Talking Stick Festival. There was just like, there were so many, and then, you know, theaters that I was able to work with. And as such, I was able to travel all across the country doing kids shows, the kids theater, another theater, and a bunch of other performances. But doing the kids shows meant that in the day I was doing acting, and at night I could hit up open mics. And so I'm really blessed. And like, I got to kind of just create this network of artists and have this group of friends that spanned all across the Turtle Island that were all, you know, actor and comedy buddies. And that's kind of how, yeah, it just kind of progresses as you get better, you know, you get more opportunities. And yeah, it's been a trip to think about. It's been a decade I've been, yeah, kind of working. it flies by.
No, that sounds really exciting. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dakota Ray Hebert, who is performing in Toronto Tuesday, the September 27th, and Wednesday, September 28th, and then part of the September 30th Got Land show. I think I'm saying that wrong. I guess I have to say Got Land.
Got land?
Do you have land? yeah, so we're talking to Dakota Ray Hebert about her journey. My goodness, I'm the worst host. So you're talking about then in Saskatchewan. I have to admit, when you talked about how you were the first Indigenous student led into the conservatory, first I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, there are a ton of Indigenous people in Saskatchewan. Like, so it's sort of, yeah. It's great for you, and I'm really happy for you. But it also says that I think we're still sort of on the beginning of this renaissance of Indigenous art, and you're sort of at the forefront. I don't know if that's accurate or if you feel that at all.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like it's very exciting. But I think they maybe just didn't have, yeah, like an Indigenous artist apply or audition or what have you, because that was something that like I thought too, like it's really interesting that we're in, you know, the 2010s, 2020s now, and there's still first Indigenous peoples, like, you know what I mean, like first time Indigenous anythings. Like it's kind of bizarre. Like, it's like, okay, good, we're hitting these milestones, but it's also like, yeah, it's like 2022. Like, we should have hit this milestone, you know, in the 80s. So yeah, it is exhilarating, and it's fun. I think like what I had heard is that more, it says more about, yeah, like the world, I guess, today than us. Like it's nice to be maybe thought of as a someone at the forefront or trailblazer, but there's so many people before me that were actual trailblazers. So you don't only think of like Charlie Hill, the grandfather of all Indigenous comedy. I think that dude is the ultimate trailblazer. And even Don Bernstick here in Canada, like that dude, he travels a lot, he works a lot, and like he's, you know, and I think he does, yeah, he's also like a grandfather of Indigenous comedy. And so there's tons of trailblazers ahead of us, and we're just making that trail a little more easy to see for incoming Indigenous comics, newcomer comics. So yeah.
That's so cool. I'm glad you mentioned Charlie Hill. Listeners are probably sick of me pointing out that Charlie Hill, like myself, is an Oneida. Just throwing that out there.
Right on.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. That's cool stuff. We're going to take a short break. While we're on that break, head over to gotlandcomedy.com and buy tickets to the September 30th comedy show in Toronto. We'll be right back. Coda Ray Hebert from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, is a comedian, actor, and all-around great interviewee. We are talking about the Gotland Indigenous Comedy Show coming up in September 30th in Toronto. It's not too late to get your tickets at gotlandcomedy.com. We were talking in the last segment about trailblazers in Indigenous media, and I want to extend that thought a little bit with Dakota right now.
But there, I did talk to Zoe Lee Hopkins a few months ago about Run Woman Run. And yeah. I talked to Zoe Lee Hopkins about being a Six Nations trailblazer, and she stopped me off at the pass. Like, I'm going to listen back, because she was borderline aggressive going, you know, yeah. What? I'm not going to claim that, because a lot of people, particularly in Six Nations film, like Shelley Nero, which she's right about, and others had come before her. So like, on the one hand, you are at this crossroads, and I stand by my earlier statement that you're at this renaissance, but you have had people come before you, Indigenous, non-Indigenous. Are there people that you've looked at that have made you say, yeah, this is what I want to do, or these are the people that inspire me?
Well, they can, so when I was a kid, I love telling, but I listened to Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Cosby on my parents' Walkman. And my joke is, and half those people are still doing pretty good.
Just going to ask if you want me to edit that out. Or
yeah. I really liked, like, I mean, they were the only comics that I had available on cassettes at the time, because, you know, I'm six or seven, like, you know, I don't know how to buy cassettes. I think, like, it was just so fun to giggle and to, like, listen to their stories and to hear the audience laugh with them. And I think that's kind of what inspired my comedy style at first, was the storytelling aspect that they do. Now my style has kind of changed. I think it's more, you know, absurd with political touches, and I don't know, it's just silly and kind of one-linery. Yeah, I think those are like my early influences. Now I'm really influenced by Jim Gaffigan and Maria Bamford. I think those are my I just love their style so much, as well as Aaron Charles Reed. He's a comic based out of Vancouver, and he is one of my most favorite comedians ever. And I'm just like, well, I cannot wait for him to drop an album. He is so funny. So I think that those are probably my current influences, I would say. In addition to, and like, this is gonna be really cheesy, but my sweetheart is a comedian as well. And I'm like always in awe of how he writes his jokes, because he can just like, he can craft a joke out of anything. It is like, it is amazing to hear him workshop jokes. It's really cool. So Those are my influences.
Are we allowed to name drop your sweetheart on the air, or is it a secret?
Oh yeah, we did, Dylan J. Williamson. Yeah, okay. he's an identical twin to Dusty Adam Williamson, and they actually were the first comedy twins on CBC's The Debaters recently. So they did their episodes out as well on that.
That's awesome. You mentioned that you use the word political in explaining some of your jokes there. And when I talked to Janelle Niles, she definitely talked about Idle No More. Didn't hold back when it got time to talk about fisheries and Sipe Ganegedi. How political do you get, or do you think that maybe that's an area that you want to kind of steer clear of?
I'm going to be dropping my album probably on Halloween, and it's called I'll Give You an Indian Act. So. That's how political.
just a little, just a cinch.
Whole album. Yeah, it's a whole album geared towards making fun of the Indian Act and the government. So that's my first album. Now the second album I'm working on is not political at all. It's just going to be, you know, just me being a goofball. But I wanted to get that one out of the way, because I've been really mad at the government lately.
I think a bunch of us have for a number of reasons. So
yeah, exactly.
Even, I mean, people are carving time out of their morning of the Queen just to listen to this interview. So thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you for taking a second away from 24/7 monarchy talk on all forms of media.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about Run Woman Run. I did talk to Zoe Lee Hopkins, yeah. and she talked about how the way that you ended up in that movie is a little bit unlikely. Can you talk about that story a bit?
Yeah, it's like in a freaking, like, you're in a freaking, like, and if you're watching a movie, about how a movie like star came to be. Like, it's just one of those like, oh my God, like this is happening. Like, it was just such a weird happenstance. But yeah, basically I just got this. I got this Facebook message on my pages, in my pages messages, and it was from Zoe. Hi, I've got this, you know, lead role open for my movie. Would you be interested in auditioning? And I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. So that was like Friday in just before the long weekend in September. And that's important to note. So Dylan and I were planning on moving to Toronto, I think like mid-September. We're going to go pack up, spend the year there so I can chase my dream for a year and see what happens and then come back to Saskatchewan. So anyways, it was like, you know, Friday, end of August, I submitted my audition and it's a long weekend. And then Tuesday morning, wake up. And it wasn't even my agent at the time. It was Zoe who messaged me, you got the role. And I was like, no way. When do we start? She was like, can you be here September like 12th or something like that? And I was like, actually, that's when we're planning. Yeah, we were planning a moving at the time. So Dylan and I and our two puppies, Mr. Bean and Lieutenant Dan, we packed up our car and we traveled across the country in like 3 days. And then like the night, like basically we got to our place at like 2 a.m. and then up at 8 to go start rehearsing. And then I was just this lead in this movie. Like it was just like, I felt kind of just like, I don't know. We just kicked open the doors. Hi Toronto, I'm here. I'm ready to shoot a movie, you know, like boom, hello. So it was really, like what? It's a crazy kind of thing that happened, but that's also something where I'm really grateful for. Zoe and the producers casting me in that movie. Like that's been a huge springboard as well for my TV and film career now. And it was such an awesome project to be a part of. Like Zoe's amazing at directing and writing, and everyone is just so much fun. And that was my first ever set that I'd been on, and everyone's really kind of patient, and I don't know, it was a really fun time. It was such a fun show to shoot, and it's such a fun show to watch. Yeah, I love her. I love that project so much.
And like total shout out to all the Six Nations scenery and people. And yeah, the story though, I wouldn't believe it if I didn't know it to be true. Like it just starts with a Facebook message. I would have deleted the message. I'd be like, oh, this is spam. Like next you're gonna ask me if I've checked the prize pack, you know, or did you see the lotto winnings? I think I saw your name on there or something like that. That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. It was like it's so surreal. But yeah, like when like even saying it out loud, it's just like, yeah, like how trippy is that? You know? Like you want to be in my movie, you know, like, yes, right. Yes, I do. Yeah, I do want to be in your movie. Yeah.
You've been absolutely amazing with your time. Is there anything you want to make sure that the listeners of One Dish, One Mic know about you, your art, anybody out in the world? The floor is yours, my friend.
I'd just like to take the time to say, I'd encourage all your listeners to support their local arts scene, whether that is, you know, actors or your local film and theater industry or your local comedy scene or your local visual artists, whatever you can get your hands on that interests you, really support them and really support them loudly. Like even if you can't afford to go to their shows or galleries or what have you, sharing their events is a really big deal. Yeah, you know what, like, pick some favorites in your local scene too, because that makes local comics and local artists feel good, knowing that their hometown is representing or, you know, likes them. Support your local scenes and see what's out there in your communities.
That's fantastic advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Dakota.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to One Dish, One Mic Radio this Saturday. Our time has come to an end, but fret not. You can listen to more One Dish, One Mic next Saturday from 10 to noon. Thank you to 610 CKTB Studios for hosting us. Thank you to you for listening to this show. Nigitwa Swagweg.